SBS Radio.
Parev, hi, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Parev,
hi. Several major events happened after our last interview in May, including the debate on the recognition of the Armenian genocide in the federal parliament. Previously, individual members had raised the issue, like Johoki. What was different this time?
Yes, that's very correct. We moved the Armenian genocide issue in Australia's federal parliament from an awareness issue to a recognition issue. That would be the most succinct way to define what the debate signified in June. And the way we can define that is we've always had people get up and speak and raise awareness about the Armenian genocide, the importance of Australia to recognise it, etc. But never until that date in June had there been a motion which included the words Armenian genocide on the agenda, on the notice paper of either of the houses of federal parliament. There are a lot of hurdles that you need to pass in order to get to get any motion on the agenda for either of the houses of parliament, either the House of Representatives or the Senate. And obviously any motion that contained the words Armenian genocide, considering Australia's stance, which is not to recognise the Armenian genocide, has always come against some significant opposition. So it was very important for us to find the right key in order to get that on the agenda for a debate. The debate means that it's on the agenda, it's something that is spoken about, it's spoken about from both sides of the chamber, and an opinion is formed, which is much more representative of Australian society than what the government's position is or department's position is, like the Department of Foreign Affairs. As we know, in the Australian political system, we elect representatives to the House of Representatives, we elect senators to the Senate, and those are the people that are representing the millions of Australians that live in this great country. And those representatives, we feel, have always had a positive outlook on the Armenian genocide. They want Australia to recognise the Armenian genocide because it is in line with Australian values. However, they have been prevented by the bureaucracy, and they have been prevented by politics and geopolitics, considering Australia's relationship with Turkey. That relationship with Turkey is a little bit different to other countries' relationships with Turkey, considering the shared date that we have on the calendar of Anzac Day in Gallipoli, when Turkey buried Australian soldiers after that exchange that occurred during World War One. So as a result of that, Turkey has flexed its diplomatic muscle. They've tried to put a gag rule on Australia over many years to say that if anybody talks about this, that if anybody even tries to recognise this thing, we might block access to Australians to Gallipoli on the 25th of April every single year. Thankfully, on this occasion, we were able to find enough will in the Australian political system. There were enough people that were willing to stand up to this unjust representation of Australian values. And we managed to pass all the hurdles to get it onto the notice paper. The selection committee, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, allowed further debate to occur, which includes three speakers from the government and three speakers who are not from the government. And all six of those speakers spoke in favour of the motion, which was officially recognising Australia's first major international humanitarian relief effort, which happened to be to aid the survivors of the Armenian genocide. The words Armenian genocide were very clearly represented in that motion, and all six people spoke in favour of that motion. The House of Representatives doesn't typically vote on private members' bills. I think it's happened less than 20 times since 1901. So the debate was as far as this issue could be taken through private members' motion in the House of Representatives, and to have a unanimous consensus from the speakers was a significant achievement legislatively for the Armenian cause.
So what's the next step?
Well, the next step would be to take it into the Senate, because the Senate does vote on these matters. The Senate typically doesn't debate issues like the House of Representatives. It votes on them. for anything to change the government's, to force change of the government's position, which is what our aim is. Our aim is, as Armenians who are Australian, is for Australia to recognise our past, even those chapters which are a little bit darker than the bright ones. And for the mosaic that is multicultural Australia to succeed, Australia needs to accept all chapters of the cultures that are represented in this society. So recognising the Armenian Genocide is important for that reason. It's also very important for that reason, for the reason that, you know, Australia needs to be on the right side of history. It needs to be on the side of truth and justice. And it needs to apply pressure with its unique relationship with Turkey to tell Turkey that it's time for them to face up to a dark chapter of its past, the Armenian Genocide, just like Australia has taken steps as well when it comes to its checkered history with the indigenous people of this land. So it's very important for Australia's position to change as a government. And for us to be able to do that, it's very difficult to do it by just negotiating with the government and the bureaucracy. That's just not worked for over a decade. What we need to do is apply necessary pressure on them and ideally to force them into that change. So for any motion to become law in Australia, it needs to pass both houses of parliament. As I said, the House of Representatives doesn't typically vote on these issues. However, it has had a bipartisan debate and it has declared that the will of the House of Representatives is for this chapter of Australia's history, the history that was exposed through in the book Armenia, Australia and the Great War by Vikem Babkenyan and Professor Peter Stanley, that chapter to be recognised as an important part of Australia's history, its humanitarian relief effort, and through that prism to recognise the Armenian Genocide. Now, the House of Representatives has done its bit. We're now going to be taking this to all the senators across the chamber in the Senate, and we're going to be asking them to put this up for a motion that will be voted upon in the future. Now, if the Senate votes and in favour of this sort of a motion, we think that the pressure will be significant on the Australian government because its view, its official view, should not be different to the view of Australians. And the view of Australians is best represented by the elected officials that make up the House of Representatives and the Senate. If the Senate follows the House of Representatives and declares a very clear will that we want the Armenian Genocide to be recognised, we want this important chapter, the humanitarian relief effort, to be recognised, it's very difficult, it's wrong, in fact, for the Australian government's position to be against that simply because a foreign dictatorship, which is what Turkey is, let's face it, is applying pressure on it to do so, is bullying them to do so. So our goal is now to get this to the Senate. Obviously, that is easier said than done. The Senate is a very colourful chamber. There are a lot of different sides of many coins in that place. And we've been working with many of them who are in favour of our issue and who recognise that the next step is for them to step up, just like the likes of Trent Zimmerman, Joel Fitzgibbon, John Alexander, and the rest of the speakers on the motion in June did in the House of Representatives. So we'll be working with them and hoping that that we can get this up for a vote in the Senate in the not-too-distant future.
And the Armenian Genocide issue was also raised during the Senate estimates time with DFAT and SBS?
Correct. I think if we look at the months of May and June, Vahe, there was unprecedented coverage of the Armenian Genocide and Artsakh, in fact, in the Federal Parliament of Australia. It was absolutely unprecedented. Senate estimates is the time where, you know, hearings take place between those who are funded by the Australian taxpayer, be that departments, media entities, etc., and senators are allowed to ask them questions to ensure we are holding them to account for working on the taxpayers' dime. And the estimates hearings in May saw three separate senators ask three separate sets of questions to different entities that are funded by the Australian government. First, there was Christina Keneally, who again questioned SBS's policy when it came to referring to the Armenian Genocide with a qualifier. SBS's policy is basically one that says, sort of qualifies the Armenian Genocide reference by stating that while many accept it to be genocide, Turkey continues to deny it, which is not a courtesy they extend to people who want to deny the Jewish Holocaust. They shouldn't extend that courtesy to Holocaust deniers. Our view is they shouldn't also extend that courtesy to genocide deniers either. And the Armenian genocide denial position was definitely questioned by Senator Christina Keneally during estimates in May. And the pressure continues to apply to SBS, who will need to eventually revisit this policy, which is not in line with many other media entities around the world or here in Australia. It's a morally bankrupt position. It's also a position that is defended very weakly by the CEO of SBS, who says in part that their policy is guided by the policy of the Australian government. Now, last we checked, the media's job was not to regurgitate the views of the Australian government. It was to hold the Australian government to account, particularly if they are a public broadcaster, and public broadcasters working for the taxpayers, working for the citizens of Australia, should be very wary of their responsibilities. Other than SBS and Senator Christina Keneally, we had Senator Rex Patrick from the Centre Alliance, previously the Nick Xenophon team, ask questions to the Department of Foreign Affairs about their policy when it came to the Armenian Genocide. And interestingly, the answers that were provided by the DFAT official who was in the Senate at the time, again, was very misleading about Australia's position. We haven't been able to get straight answers from the Department of Foreign Affairs. Months apart, their views seem to change, and it just lends to that criteria that the Department of Foreign Affairs is somehow feeling beholden to Turkey when it comes to this particular matter. One of the issues that we were very disappointed about was the person who was responding to the questions by Senator Patrick said that she was not aware, and the Department of Foreign Affairs generally was not aware, that Turkey has ever used access to Gallipoli as a threat when people have spoken about recognizing the Armenian Genocide in Australia. Until today, on Turkey's Foreign Affairs website, there is the press release in 2013 by Davutoglu's administration, who said that the persons who try to damage the spirit of Gallipoli will also not have their place at the Gallipoli ceremonies, where we commemorate together our sons lying side by side on our soil. You know, on ABC 7:30, a journalist asked a question of the then Turkish Consul General, saying that New South Wales Parliament recognised the Armenian Genocide again, which they did in 2013. Will their visas be rejected by the Turkish Embassy when they apply to go to Gallipoli for the centenary celebrations? And she said yes. So there is black and white evidence, it's public evidence, and for the Department of Foreign Affairs to deny or be unaware that this sort of gaggle is going on is purely unacceptable. Senate estimates was an opportunity for us to bring these things to light. And the third set of questions that were asked during estimates was by Senator Lee Rhiannon from the Greens, and she asked about Australia's policy of when it came to the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. And the questions that she asked absolutely put the Department of Foreign Affairs on the back foot, because she touched on the inconsistency of Australia's positioning there, where Australia says it backs the OSCE peace process, while at the same time singling out the condition of territorial integrity and support of that territorial integrity when it comes to Azerbaijan. The OSCE does not play favourites when it comes to its three principles to solve the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. It says that the non-use of force, territorial integrity, and the rights to self-determination are of equal importance when it comes to resolving the issue of Nagorno-Karabakh. Australia can't say it is a supporter of those principles while only singling out one of those principles, which is what Azerbaijan wants us to do. Australia should be wary of these issues, and Senator Rhiannon did bring them up. She also brought up the Azerbaijani laundromat, which is the money, the bribe mechanism that was used by the Aliyev family to get some favorable outcomes from Western politicians. And DFAT promised that they will look into that because some of that money has landed in Australia. And it's very concerning when we hear things like that, and then we hear Australia's position is a pro-Azerbaijani position. We just want to make sure that is for the right reason.
Hague ANCA announced also that had opened branches in Canberra and in Perth. Could you give more details about the ANCA's work in these two cities?
Sure. These are very important steps for us. The Armenian National Committee is obviously the branch of our community that assists when it comes to public affairs, when it comes to media and political issues. And everywhere that there are Armenians, they have rights as Armenians, just like they do as Australians. And we feel that it's important for ANC to be present in those regions in order to represent those rights. So we, when we go on our travels and we visit state parliaments as well as federal parliaments to represent issues of importance to Armenians, we meet a lot of people. And in WA, in Perth, there's a burgeoning community over there. And it was in February when we were there visiting the parliament that we reached out to the community organisers to put together an opportunity for us to meet with the local Armenians there. And that was that really went well. We were able to explain what we do and whether they're interested in these things. And the interest is very high. They felt that it would be imperative that the interests of Armenians, be that the Armenian genocide issue, be that the Artsakh issue, and also some local issues that they have coming up in their minds, are represented properly as a branch of the Armenian National Committee. Therefore, we reached out to a few people that we met that day, and Zaven, Emma, and Vasken were kind enough to accept to form the first Perth branch of the Armenian National Committee, and they've already started their work. You would have probably noticed last month in June, we actually had the first ever speech in the West Australian Parliament about the Armenian genocide. Tony Booty, who is a local MP over there, he spoke on the issue after we had met with him, and it was a very powerful statement and the first of what we hope to be many in raising our issue in the West Australian Parliament. In Canberra, we always think of Canberra as the federal parliament and the federal capital of Australia, but it also has a territory parliament, the ACT Parliament. In the ACT, there is also a very small but interested community over there, very specialised in many fields that are also government associated. And we sought to meet with the local community on some of our trips over there, and more recently we were able to solidify those ties. And we have announced an initial ANC Canberra branch. And they will primarily, just like the Perth branch, just like our Melbourne branch, which is currently being revamped, what they will be working on is the state and local government level lobbying when it comes to Armenian issues and issues representing the Armenian Australian community. So the committee over there is chaired by Diana. There is also people on the committee like Tamar and Lilith and Vartanes and also Artur. So we're very excited to have them on board in Canberra, and we're hoping that we can also soon announce the revamped committee in Melbourne, which is already working, but we haven't yet formalised it and announced it. And we're working on doing similarly in Adelaide as well.
Hague, new historic changes are currently happening in Armenia. How these momentous changes affect ANCA's work in Australia?
Yeah, look, obviously, we don't represent the Armenian government. It's sometimes been the case that the Armenian National Committee in Australia or America or wherever we might be, as the committees representing the local Armenians of that country, have had differing approaches or views than the Armenian government. That's been commonplace at different occasions, not recently, but at different occasions over the last two decades, and the protocols was one of those occasions, which was probably more famous. However, always we prefer to be on the same, we prefer the Armenian government's positioning and approaches to be similar to that of our communities around the place, because it's obviously better to represent that very united front, because there are certain courts of law, so to speak, or parliaments and forums that the government can go to, which we can't go to as committees. And there are certain activities that we can do as committees that the government can't do. So it's always important to, it's always preferable that our interests of our communities and the government in Armenia are aligned. Since the changes that have occurred in Armenia through the Velvet Revolution, all the opportunities that Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan has had to speak about the issues that are also issues of concern to the Armenian National Committee, he has spoken very positively and pretty much from singing from our hymn sheet, so to speak. The idea of putting pressure when he was at the recent NATO summit in Brussels on NATO to take a very forceful position against the against any military solution that Azerbaijan keeps threatening when it comes to the Artsakh conflict is similar to the sort of things that we say as Armenian national committees, and we welcome that approach by the Prime Minister. He also made Artsakh's solution on the grounds of self-determination, that Artsakh will determine its future, part of his government program, which we also find very welcoming, because we also believe that the people of Artsakh deserve to determine their future, not anybody else. And they've already done that on multiple occasions with their referenda, and it's important for us to back that process, and we're happy that the Prime Minister of Armenia has echoed those sentiments in his government program. And we're also happy that that when he's made the Armenian genocide and the just resolution of the Armenian genocide an important factor of within his foreign policy, which is something that follows on from the previous government as well. That was very important, because Armenia hasn't always had a very active approach in that field. However, leading to the centenary of the Armenian genocide, there was an announcement, a joint announcement, Armenia and diaspora type announcement, that this will be a priority not just for the diaspora but also for the Armenian government. And judging by the government program presented by Pashinyan, it seems that that's something that he's going to continue, which is something that we also welcome. We are also very happy to tell the political leaders of Australia about this very positive change in Armenia. The fact that, you know, citizens of a country in the same region as Azerbaijan and Turkey, let's not forget, are able to stand up given the opportunity to raise their voice and complain about politicians, about governments, to the extent that they can bring them down through the people's voice, have no blood spilt, and make and enforce regime change through what is a velvet revolution, is extremely is an extremely good story to tell to Australian politicians and politicians in democracies like Australia. So we've enjoyed saying that story. We've enjoyed saying that Armenians are able to express their right to free speech and the right to assembly, and they were able to exercise that to the extent that they were able to enforce regime change. And now, through, you know, anti-corruption measures and other measures that are being taken up, Armenia is on its way to being the exemplary democracy in its region. And that's something that we have always stood behind, and more so than ever since the Velvet Revolution.
Hi, thank you very much for the interview and about ANC's work in Australia.
Thank you very much, Maya.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.